superwoman, and I'm so excited to finally have her in studio. Her story is remarkable, an incredible woman of note. Dr. Velo Govender was diagnosed with a brain tumor 6 years ago and underwent a number of operations to have it removed. And after all of that, she was like, I'm going to do something amazing, and achieved a PhD in her 50s. She's a mom, she's a wife, she's a social worker, she's an HR executive, she's a therapist, and the chairperson of one of the biggest NGOs in KZN. So excited to please welcome Dr. Velo Govender. I know you love, you like, please just call me Velo. Absolutely not. You have a PhD. You are Dr. Velo Govender. Thank you. Wow. How are you? How are you, Velo?
Good morning, Carol. I'm truly overwhelmed to be here this morning. Thank you so much, and what an honor to be here with you in this show. Yeah. And thank you for having me here this morning.
I'm so excited to have you. I mean, your story is insane. You get diagnosed with a brain tumor. Tell me about that and that experience. I mean, you're a mom, you're a wife, you've got kids, your life is happening, and next thing you hear, this really scary news.
Yes, life was definitely happening. You know, 2017, I was actually, as I said, I'm a social worker by profession. Mm-hmm. I worked in the NGO sector for 15 years and I went into academics.
Right.
So life was busy. I had just received my ethical clearance to commence with a PhD. Mm-hmm. And at that point, lecturing at the University of KwaZulu-Natal as well as UNISA. Mm-hmm. And my daughter at that point had just commenced her first year at UKZN in the engineering field. Mm-hmm. And my son was also in high school, so it was crazy busy. And taking on this PhD was daunting, you know.
Right.
And but I thought, why not? Why don't ask me? Nevertheless, at that point, so life was crazy, and my daughter was also about to graduate after 12 years as a classical Indian dancer.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so we were about to have a graduation in 2 weeks' time. So we were busy with rehearsals, and I was driving, and I vomited in my car.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So not normal. And prior to that, I was suffering with severe headaches and high blood pressure. And we thought, you know, usual stress, which is what we all go through.
100%.
Doctors treating you for high blood pressure with medication, but not going down.
Right.
But I'm still continuing.
Yeah.
Superwoman, you know. So still going to work and still driving and doing it all. Get to the doctor. And my husband noticed actually that my eye was not right. And so doctor says, oh, okay, let's just go and do a scan, because he was a bit concerned. And lo and behold, after the results come out, surgeon walks in. We've now, the results obviously indicate that you have a tumor. Okay, not really startled by this news.
Right.
Because with medicine these days, I'm sure you can take it out through the nose or the eyes or dissolve it, you know, or medication.
Right.
He says, no, it's actually, I'm surprised that you're even talking. It's so massive that he needs to come out surgically removed.
And how big was this?
It was massive. Well, he couldn't, you know, he says it has to be surgically removed, you
right,
know?
Right.
And I said, but doctor, I've got my daughter's function in 2 weeks' time. And he says, I'm sorry, I don't even think you'll make it in a week's time.
Jeez.
And just like that.
So literally you find out the news and within days...
we have to go into surgery. I didn't even clear my office desk. I didn't even get to go home. And we cancelled everything, you know, just send all the messages to service providers, to all the guests, sorry, this is not happening. And my husband and my daughter said, no, we can't do all this. You need to see it yourself now. So still, this hasn't really hit me, you know, that this is going to happen. And I'm thinking, okay, nothing major. So I go into surgery in ICU. We come out and I end up with post-operative complications to add to that.
Oh, no.
Yes, I lost my speech. I could not close my eyes, and I ended up with vision problems, and I ended up going for physio every single day on my face. My husband had to take a tape and close my eyes because it refused to close. It was a disaster. But no, that's nothing. 3 months later, fluid, the bone shifted in my head, by the way, and fluid started seeping out. So a big lump pitches up. Oh dear, that was it. And doctor says, I'm sorry, we have to go back into surgery.
Oh, no.
And this is October and it's exam time. And I'm thinking, the kids are writing exams. And it was on Diwali day, by the way, Carol.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. That for me, I think that was actually worse than the first operation.
Yeah.
We go back into surgery 80 staples later. I counted it. Yes. I know it sounds crazy.
80 staples later.
Yes. And they just pick it off, by the way. You know, they take it out. So they put it into the silver dish, you know. That went, and I'm looking, can I have these, please? Because I actually wanted to count to see how many. Yes, I went through 80 of that on my head. And we get back out, and it was almost a year of recovery. And it wasn't easy, you know, hair all shaven off, the face was a disaster. I ended up with ulcer problems because of the steroids and all the medication and treatment. And, you know, it's sad that, you know, it's especially when you have so much going on and suddenly everything comes to us. And, you know, when COVID hit, that's why I was able to resonate and work with people, because I knew what it was like
for the world to stop.
And everything literally comes to a standstill. Mm. And, you know, I remember watching this movie with 5 feet apart. And he said, the whole time I've been living for my treatment instead of doing my treatment so that I can live.
Wow.
And I thought that it was so epic. And that's when I realized I needed to do something with myself. And being a therapist and a counselor, I decided to use my personal and my professionalism to reach out to people. And at that point, Carol, I felt, God, you gave me a second chance of life for a reason. Now, my husband, Ricky, who's amazing, the love of my life.
Go, Ricky!
Yes, Ricky. This one's shout out to you. And my two children, Jishnavi, 26, and Mishen, 22. Oh, God, I miss him. He's in Cape Town. He's doing his internship there.
Oh, beautiful, yes.
Yes, I miss him dearly. And Jishnavi's in Johannesburg. I'll tell you about her just now. He was running a business, and, you know, it's now 23 years. And because of him, you know, I was allowed the flexibility, you know, to be able to still continue with my career and stuff. And that's when I decided to go into counseling and opening up this practice and just reaching out to people, you know. And then the PhD came along again, and I thought, let's restart it. And then I was told, why? You don't need it. Mm. You don't need the PhD. You're not going back to university. You don't need it for research. You don't need it for a promotion. Mm-hmm. Financially, he was taking very good care of me. Mm-hmm. So you don't need the money. No, but you know, every woman needs their own money.
Of course.
So yes, I do. But on the other hand, it was personal. The research was very personal to me because it was on social workers in the non-government sector.
Right.
And I really wanted the voices to be heard. So I took it on again in 2020. And, you know, even my doctor said, you know, he was concerned because of my health.
Yeah, and stress of the PhD.
Exactly. And my son, I remember my son, Michelle, asked me, you know, when I first started, you know, what is a PhD? And I said, you know, doctor of philosophy. And he says, no, mom, it's permanent head damage.
Yes.
It was funny then, but not when you have your head really physically damaged.
Yes.
So,
oh my gosh.
Anyhow, I took it on. And then when COVID came through and the kids started studying from home, you know, I just pushed everything aside because obviously they took priority. They were using the lounge and the dining room and, you know, they took over the space. So I put it aside. And then 21 came and I started again. And then UKZN said to me, you only have 1 year left. And or else you'll have to reapply for ethics. My supervisor looked at my work and she says, I'm so sorry, but you have to restart all over again. Whatever you've done is null and void and is too old.
Wow.
And I remember saying to Ricky and the kids, give me this year. Just give me this year for me. And I, between the practice and Carol, if I tell you, I work 7 days a week, Monday to Sunday, till 2 a.m. Jeez. So I converted my entire home, my entertainment area, put on 3 trestles, and I set it up as my workstation. So I had a pool area there. So 11 o'clock, I'll go and swim, and I'll come back, and I'll work. It wasn't easy with my eye problems, and I had short-term memory problems as well, so forgetting things in between. So whatever it took, I did. So I found that steaming your eye worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a steamer. I had a steamer there, so I would just steam frantically. It helped the face as well, by the way.
So you did all of this, and you got through that PhD in a year?
Yes, and I submitted in 1.5 years, by the way.
Remarkable.
And
remarkable.
I submitted on the day of my anniversary of my surgery in July. How's that for you?
Oh,
you know, when I was in hospital, I remember when I came out of ICU, fortunately I was in one of the recovery rooms, and it had the view of the ocean and the harbor. So I would actually, you know, take my tray at my table, my breakfast, and I will sit there and have the view of the ocean and enjoy my breakfast. So it was like being in a hotel, and you know, like having breakfast and having the ocean view. So this is what you do. You know what I mean?
You
change the
narrative.
You change. And that's what happened with the practice. You know, I work from home. So my practice, I took my entertainment area at home. We put a 10-meter wallpaper of a beautiful waterfall. You need to visit me.
Yes.
And my husband put some astroturf and sofas, and there's a pool there. So when you walk up, the venue is therapeutic on its own. So it's not clinical.
And it's homely.
It's homely. So initially people said, I was told, you know, it's not professional to work from home, you know, and that's when COVID hit. So the whole world worked from home.
Yes.
And we all went virtual, you know. So and then when my daughter moved to Cape Town and she worked there,
yeah,
I also took clients in Cape Town because the apartment that she had on the 14th floor was the clubhouse. So I used that venue.
Wow.
So I'd walk in, I would get a cappuccino from the coffee shop next door and would take the clients the 14th floor, and you have the view of Table Mountain. Do you need more than that?
Wow.
So you see, you take what you have and you work with it.
I love that. I think a lot of us tend to see our scenarios as the end.
Yes.
And yet when we look at them and with those eyes of seeing the good, I mean, who would have thunk that you in a hospital bed with a view of the ocean have now changed your mind switch to say, actually, this for me is my little hotel.
Exactly.
With a view.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's amazing. Now, you work with the Ubuntu Community Chest.
Yes.
Unpack for us what exactly that is.
No, I don't work for the Ubuntu Community Chest.
Yeah. Chairperson.
I'm a volunteer.
Volunteer.
Okay, yeah. So, again, I'm still very passionate about the NGO sector. You know,
yeah.
Coming from that, working in the NGO sector for many years, and my research was in the NGO sector. The Ubuntu Community Chest is a non-government organization, and they're based in Durban, and they service 100, they fund 108 organizations, non-government organizations. So early childhood development organizations, the elderly, STEM organizations. And so the thing is, being part of that organization, we know we do fundraising and so we support these. So I'm the chairperson of the organization.
Yes.
And actually, we're presently working on a golf day that's taking place on the 7th of March.
Lovely.
Yeah, so we're actually looking out, you know, for people to support that initiative. So that would be, so that's one of the projects. So I'm actually also very involved. I'm also part of the allocations committee where we allocate funds now to the 108 organizations.
I love that.
Up to almost R1 million per organization, hey, Carol?
Wow.
Yes, per organization.
Now, I remember this past week, you know, we had the whole thing with Donald Trump saying he's pulling a lot of funding for some of the NGOs and stuff in South Africa. Are you guys affected at all directly by that announcement?
Not as yet, but I'm hoping that we don't, and that will be, you know, quite, that will affect us for sure.
Yeah.
And also, I'm also very involved with the autistic community.
Yes,
which is one
that people still don't understand very well, do we?
Exactly. It's about giving a voice to the voiceless, and that's what I see, because I feel our government as well does not support the community extensively.
Yeah.
And they need a lot of support.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's a lot that goes into working with autistic kids.
Yeah.
No parent in a million years, wakes up, has a child and suddenly realizes that, why is my child not speaking? What has happened? Normal, child is fine, and all of a sudden, what went wrong? And then you need support, you need speech therapy, you need OT, and it's specialized therapeutic service. And if you don't have the resources, then what? Your child is the one that has to suffer the consequences. So there are some NGOs that I also support in trying to access support, and I provide a lot of support for the parents as well.
Yeah, and that's so
when it
so
comes, because on Mother's Day, for example, my kids and I hosted a few of the moms, because on Mother's Day, the kids can't come and say Happy Mother's Day or do something for their moms because they don't know what this is.
Mm.
So we host the moms and we do a little special treat for them because we had Estee Lauder that came on board with us and did makeovers for all the mothers, and it was so special.
So special. Just like you, you're very, very special, Dr. Velo Govender.
Thanks, Carol.
I need to ask you our final question. What advice do you have for someone who's only seeing the space they're in as a negative space and nothing more? What do you say? Because you seem to see the flowers in any dark room.
I think the most important thing is to take off the pressure, of focusing on everybody and, social media, and just rather, focus on embracing you and just yourself.
Wow.
And I think self-acceptance for me is the key to true transformation. And live in the moment.
Yeah.
And give yourself the permission to let go of the past. Because if we hold on to that, that's when we're holding on baggage. So for me, it's the moment. I embrace every moment.
Yeah.
So don't ask me what I'm going to do a little later on, because I don't know. I may just stop after here, go and have some coffee somewhere. Don't. My husband doesn't need to know all this, but
yeah,
I'm lucky. Yeah, he doesn't check. So the point is that that's it. I can't tell you. Yes, and that's the thing with my clients. I will say to a client, can we have a session at the Beverly Hills today and have a coffee with them? And that's what it's about. You see,
I love
live that. In the moment.
Live in the moment. Yeah. To get in touch with Dr. Vela, whether you'd like therapy, assistance, or whatever, maybe you want to take part in the golf day or help with some of the charities she's involved with, you can get in touch with her, velogovender@gmail.com. That's velogovender@gmail.com, and you can get a hold of her there. Dr. Vela Govender, your story is, I didn't think when we invited you on the show that it had that much more to it than what I thought. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being you. And thank you for all the work you do for our communities and our children.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
It was a story to be told.
Carol Ofori, KZN's number one hit music station, East Coast Radio.